So we're talking about this bless series, and I want to invite you to think about, how did you bless someone this past week? You know, last week, if you were here, I talked about having conversations and listening to others, and I had a lot of conversations, but I hadn't actually talked to someone who was on the list that we had done a few weeks ago, someone who is far from God. And so this week, I had told you that I was going to try to do better. Well, yesterday I realized that I hadn't done much better, so I saw somebody that was on my list, and I decided, well, I better go talk. And I stopped by and had a conversation. Actually, it went very well. You know, the person is probably still not a believer, but it was a good opportunity just to chat, and the person was open, and it was just an enjoyable conversation. And I realized that when we do intentionally go and pray and ask God to open some doors, that God does that. And so I want to encourage each of us, again, to continue to take those steps of blessing others, that we might draw them one step closer to Jesus. Join God in his mission. And that's what we're doing. Jesus' mission is to help people find their way back to God. And we're followers, making followers, and so the strategy that God has us using is this blessed strategy. So each week we're looking at five missional practices to bless, and each letter in the acronym stands for something, a core practice that we do. So the B stands for begin with prayer. And so we ask each day, how do you want me to bless the world around me? And the L stands for, do you remember? Listen, yeah, listen with care. That means listening to people and hearing the things that are on their heart and understanding their needs. And then E, I like this one, it's for eating together. And so we share meals and hospitality and just that time as we begin to build relationships as we eat together. And then this one today, the first S, stands for serve in love. And so what are the practical ways that we can participate in the work that God is doing in the lives of people around us by serving with love? Well, Pastor Kevin Miller, he posted some questions on Facebook. One of the questions was, what makes it hard for you to serve other people? And these are some of the responses that he got. He said, serving is hard when it doesn't fit into my schedule or plan, like when I want to go for a walk or take a long bath, but my aging parents need me to sort their meds or run an errand or simply be with them. Another is, it's hard when there seems or when the needs seem endless. I don't want to risk serving because I might get sucked in, being swallowed up in the serving and not getting to be the me I think I need to be. And one more is, there's just such limited energy left after a demanding work day of meeting our basic responsibilities, whether it's with kids or our jobs. How do you balance the need for rest and self-care and serving others? Great questions, right? But his favorite one was this. What makes it hard to serve others? Others. Very true. I think we can identify with some of these. So how do we understand serving with love? And I think the best way to see this is to understand what Jesus did. And so we read in Mark 7 again how Jesus served this man who was blind or deaf. And so as we look at these insights from Jesus, how he's serving in this passage, I'm going to give a little disclaimer that I'm borrowing some structure from Pastor Dave Ferguson, who's outlined this blessed strategy for today, serving with love. And so from Mark 7 again, we read, Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. And there some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on them. So Jesus' way of serving involves the people that are right with him. And so that's the first point we look at today, is we serve people who are nearby. They're the ones right here. You know, Jesus did a lot of traveling around. He was considered an itinerant pastor, which means that he went from place to place and preached and teached. But that didn't stop him from serving the people that were right in front of him, the people that he met along the way. And so in this encounter, he was in this Decapolis, which is these 10 Greek cities. They're not considered a Jewish area, so he's kind of out of his context, and yet he goes out and serves right there. The man Jesus served was brought to him. You know, he didn't even go to him. The man was brought before him. And if we follow Jesus' example of, you know, who can we bless by serving, who is that? Who do we bless by serving? Those around us, right? Those that are in our vicinity. And so we did a Frank list about 4 weeks ago. That's the list that talks about our friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, coworkers, maybe students, and those that we know who don't yet know Jesus, who aren't yet followers of him. And then we ask God, how do we enter into their lives? And in this week, how can we serve them with love in order to bring them one step closer to Jesus? And so Jesus says that almost without exception, the people we're meant to serve will be right around us, the ones that are nearby. So I want you to think for a moment, who is that in your life? If you're thinking this week, who can I serve? Someone who's on my list or, you know, who may be far from God, who would that be in your life? Think about that. So you're thinking about a person? I want you to hold on to that thought for a moment. Just hang on to that. So we serve people that are near us. And next we serve people personally. So we serve personally, and that means we serve in a loving way that recognizes each person's dignity and value. So the person in this passage really matters to Jesus. So it says, after he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put the fingers in the man's ears, and then he spit and touched the man's tongue. So there just isn't an easy way, you know, to serve without getting personal. The model that Jesus demonstrates is a call, in a sense, to be human and to interact with the humanity of another person. This isn't even so much about being Christian, it's just about being human, about how God intends us to be and how we're made to be. So as Jesus' imitators, we're expected to be relational and to connect with the needs of other people, and to do it in the way that reminds us of how God intends the world to be. So we're serving each other in love. And oftentimes that requires some special attention. That's Jesus' way of serving. So we look at what he does with this man. He pulls him aside rather than just saying a few words and he's healed. He brings him in. He takes him inside. And this man has a severe speech impediment. That's what this kind of implies here. So it may be, you know, that he doesn't like being in a crowd, or, you know, that it would be uncomfortable. He would draw attention to himself. So Jesus pulls him away and works personally with him. And this man has significant needs here that Jesus is dealing with, but it's also personal. Jesus understands those needs, and he deals with them in a very personal way. And then he looks up to heaven and he says, he looked up to heaven with a deep sigh and said, Ephphatha, which means be opened. So Jesus served those around him with a personal compassion that demonstrated his humanity, and he attended to their needs. Oftentimes we think of Jesus as, you know, the Son of God, but we don't as often recognize his humanity, and that's part of what Jesus is demonstrating, what it means to be human. It means to care and be concerned for one another. So are we aware of the needs of those that are around us? Author Steve Covey, in his, I may have shared this illustration before, but I think it really makes the point, so I'm going to share it again if I have. Steve Covey is the best-selling author of 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and he tells about being on a New York subway where he's quietly reading a book, and when he's interrupted by 2 wild little boys who got on the subway with their father at the last stop. And the children weren't just loud, but they were running around, out of control, jumping up and down across the seats. And the father seemed like he didn't even notice what was going on. He didn't seem to care that his children were misbehaving and bothering all of the other riders. So Stephen couldn't take it any longer, finally approached the father, and he explained that he really needed to control his children and teach them some respect. And the father agreed. He sighed, saying, "Yeah, I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to say to them. We just came from the hospital where their mother died." You see, we can't assume that we know someone's whole story or that we know their pain. We're called to be human, to enter in, to engage and discover the other person's humanity. So we pray, "Lord, help me see those I'm serving as you see them." Then we can serve them in love and do as Jesus commands when he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So Doug Nichols, he writes about his experience of serving years ago, serving with love. He says, "While serving with Operation Mobilization in India in 1967, tuberculosis forced me into a sanitarium for several months. I did not yet speak the language, but I tried to give Christian literature that is written in their language to the patients and doctors and nurses, but everyone politely refused me. I sensed many were not happy with a rich American being in a free government-run facility. They didn't realize that I was just as broke as they were. The first few nights, I woke about 2 a.m. coughing. And one morning during my coughing spell, I noticed one of the older and sicker patients across the aisle was trying to get out of bed. He would sit up on the edge of the bed and try to stand, but in his weakness, he would fall back into the bed. And I didn't understand what he was trying to do. He finally fell back into bed exhausted, and I heard him crying softly. And the next morning, I realized what the man was trying to do. He had been trying to get up to walk to the bathroom. The stench in our ward was awful. Other patients yelled insults at the man. Angry nurses moved him roughly from side to side as they cleaned him up. One nurse even slapped him. The old man curled into a ball and he wept. The next night I woke again, coughing, and I noticed the man across the aisle sit up and again try to stand, and like the night before, he fell back, whimpering. I don't like bad smells, and I didn't want to get involved, but I got out of bed and went over to him, and when I touched his shoulder, his eyes opened wide with fear. I smiled and put my arm under him and picked him up. He was very light due to old age and advanced TB, and I carried him to the washroom, which was a filthy, small room with a hole in the floor. I stood behind him with my arms under his armpits as he took care of himself, and after he finished, I picked him up, carried him back to bed, and laid him down. As I did, he kissed me on the cheek, smiled and said something I couldn't understand. The next morning, another patient woke me and handed me a steaming cup of tea. He motioned with his hands that he wanted one of those tracts I had been trying to hand out. As the sun rose, other patients approached and indicated that they also wanted the booklets I had tried to distribute. And throughout the day, nurses and interns and doctors asked for the literature. And weeks later, an evangelist who spoke the language visited me, and as he talked to others, he discovered that several had put their trust in Jesus as Savior as a result of reading that literature. What did it take to reach these people with the gospel? It wasn't health or the ability to speak their language or a persuasive talk. I simply took a trip to the bathroom. Jesus said, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So serving in love, this is the fourth way that we've learned to bless someone who isn't yet a follower of Jesus. And it can have a far greater impact, really, than I think most of us realize or imagine. You know, and Jesus reveals his way of serving as we read the rest of the passage. So Jesus looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said, "Be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did, the more they kept talking about it, and people were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. So Jesus models serving people who are nearby us, serving people personally with compassion, and the last point of serving with love is to serve people in God's power. So Jesus used and he accessed God's power, and we should too. You know, sometimes we think that, well, that's Jesus. How could I do that? Well, Jesus says to his followers, I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these. So we serve in Jesus' name, so we have access to God's power. So we should never forget to do what Jesus does, and that is to access it on all occasions. So we want to take every opportunity to introduce other people, other human beings to our Father in heaven. And we do that through prayer oftentimes. So if someone's sick, we simply ask God to heal them. If they have an addiction, ask God to free them. If they're in a relationship that's hopeless, ask God to reconcile them. Whatever it is, we simply ask God. We kind of get the idea. Never be afraid to ask for a miracle. God often uses those miracles to draw people to him. God uses his power to make himself known. And so we want to be attentive to the opportunities that God provides us to pray for people in their needs. So Pastor Dave Ferguson, he gives an example, a story about serving in God's power, saying that a friend of his worked in a local retail store, and he said it's not his dream job, so he took it and asked God to use him in that store to bless others that were around him, and he began with prayer. After working there for a while, he got to know one of the bosses pretty well, and his boss made it clear that he was not a Christ follower. But because of their relationship, the topic of religion would come up from time to time. And as they got to know each other, he said, my friend learned that his boss has a son who has chronic health problems, some very serious stuff. And one day he noticed his boss seemed kind of down and asked him, is something wrong? And the guy says, yeah, now my son has broken out in hives, really severe. And the doctors can't do anything and he can't go to school, so he's home alone. And I am very worried. The guy was a single dad. My friend said, well, do you mind if I pray for God to heal him? And he wasn't sure what this guy would say, but without missing a beat, the guy said, sure, go ahead, please do. Well, the store he works in was really busy, so he couldn't find a quiet place, so he went into the bathroom to pray, and he did. He simply said, God, you know I love this guy, and he's hurting. I know what you can do, so please heal his son. Please take away his hives. And then he heads back out on the sales floor, and a couple minutes later, he sees the boss across the room, and there's this astonished look in his eye. His boss walks across the store and says to him, that prayer thing, it works. Your God must be real, because my son just texted me 2 minutes ago and said, Dad, you'd never believe it. All my hives are gone. So we recognize there is power that God has, and he wants to use it through your serving to bless the world around you and to help people find their way back to God. So I want to remind us one more time how we serve in love by serving those who are nearby. It's those people who are right around us and serving people personally, learning their story, and taking the time to enter into their pain, if that's what it takes. And serving people in God's power. Ask God to do what only God can do. So now earlier, I had asked you if there was somebody that you were thinking about that you could serve in love, someone that you could bless maybe this week. Now, I'm inviting you to, again, think of that person. I imagine that someone possibly came to mind. And I'd like to challenge you that this week to make a commitment to serve that person, to not put it off, and to see how God will use you to bless them. And then come back next week over a cup of coffee and share your story. So we remember that we are the people that God has chosen to bless the world around us. We reach out to those who are near. We restore God's dream where it is broken. We reproduce followers who make followers of Jesus by blessing others. And why do we do that? So we can see the mission of Jesus accomplished, that people will find their way back to God. Be a blessing this week. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have called us to serve you. We thank you, Lord, that you show us how to be a blessing through this illustration of Jesus, Lord, to reach out to those who are near to us and to engage in their humanity, and Lord, to love them in ways that are demonstrated through our serving. And Lord, help us to do this and not to think about all the difficult ways to do it, but just openly and honestly and easily offer to step in and do what we know we can do, even if it's simply to pray. And Lord, through us, bless those who don't yet know you and bring them back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.